Blog Talk Radio.
Reverend Edward Pinckney, the first pastor in the history of mankind to ever be sent to prison for quoting the Bible. Oh, it's truly, truly, truly a blessing to be here today. And I thank God for this opportunity to be with my brother. And I tell you, Larry Pinckney, are you there?
I am here, my brother. I am here.
Yeah. Well, let me tell the people a little bit about you so they'll know where we're going with this. Larry Pinckney, he is a veteran of the Black Panther Party, the former Minister of Interior of the Republic of New Africa, a former political prisoner, and the only American to have successfully self-authorized his civil political right case to the United Nations. Now, I got to take my hat off to you for that. That is a beautiful, beautiful thing. Under the International Covenant on the Civil and Political Right, in connection with his political organizing activity in opposition to voter suppression, Pinckney was interviewed in 1988 on the national televised PBS News Hour, formerly known as the McNeil Lear, I'm going to say, if that's correct, but News Hour, Lear, for more about Larry Pinckney, see the book saying No to Power. That's it, the autobiography of the 20th century activist and thinker by William Mandel, and introduction by Howard Zann. Now, Larry, I know who you are, but the people out there don't have a clue how historical you are. I mean, you are one of the few guys who I would actually really take my hat off to, and very proud to say that you are my brother. You know, we're not blood brothers, but you're every bit of my brother, I tell you that.
Well, brother, thank you, and we definitely are every bit of brothers.
Mm-hmm.
The reality is that I also, as you know, brother, I take my hat off to you because the struggle continues. It goes on, and your case proves it. It goes on. You see, there you are sitting in, you know, apartheid Benton Harbor under house arrest with the tether on.
And day 54 of the illegal arrest. That's what it is, day 54. And here's the deal. They really don't want to remove it, and my lawyers don't really have the backbone to stand up and say, well, you're going to do it whether you like it or not. You see, they're so intimidated by these judges that they don't even know what to do themselves. And and here they are, well, you got to do this. I owe them some tether money because I had literally refused to pay. But now what I'm going to do, I see that as a tool. People has been coming forward offering money for me to pay so we don't have to go through this. But here's my plan. I got to read about Whirlpool right fast. Then we can really get deep into this show. I want to talk about environmental racism. Who would believe this? Whirlpool gets Golf Park, a designer Jack Nicklaus Park in Benton Harbor. The people in Benton Harbor get toxic development, a well-kept secret, the fact that the toxic stew from the federal agency, which represented Fred Upton, who's the heir to Whirlpool, helped pass this and helped give Benton Harbor all the toxic poison land. Here's a little thing I want to read. It says, in Grand Rapids, we took them up to the federal court. It says, citizens from the impoverished and city of Benton Harbor, which is 94% African American. Whirlpool, the world's largest manufacturer of washing machine, and an international headquarters is in Benton Harbor. Keep the dirty secret from the U.S. Corps Army Engineer and from the public. Resident attorney Terry Lodge told Judge Robert Holmes Bell during a hearing in U.S. District Court. Whirlpool-backed Harbor Shore Development attained a 106-year lease of 22 acres of Gene Clark Park to develop a Jack Nicklaus signature golf course with the view of Lake Michigan and all the lakefront land on Benton Harbor Beautiful Beach. Gene Clark Park is the city's major park used by residents for reunion, baptism, picnics, swimming, concerts, and playing on the lake. Harbor Shores convinced the city commissioners, all black city commissioners, all black, not one white person on here, to give up the park for the sake of an economic development. What they're saying, economic to develop their pockets. That's what they're saying. They don't use these words, but that's exactly what's going on. In return, Benton Harbor got a golf course where black people don't play golf. The residents sued August 2008, claiming that the golf course violated the Land and Water Conservation Act and Environment Protection Act. Contrary to what was disclosed to the public, scrutiny, the Michigan Department of Natural Resources, the Department of Environment Quality, and the City of Benton Harbor, we now know that all but one of the seven conversion mitigated parcels squat for the Gene Clark Park land are contaminated. Who would believe that? This is what the lawyer wrote to the Army Corps in March 2009. Arsenic and lead poison are the two major poisons in the stew of these parcels. So what they're saying is okay for black people who are basically not smart enough in their eyesight to know that they're being poisoned. We got arsenic and lead, two of the main killers in the whole country. Okay, this is Attorney Lodge explaining to Judge Bell that his client discovered the toxin exists only after the extension of Freedom of Information file in the search. Had the public known of the toxic public comment would have been different, they argue. Had the oversight agency known that the due diligence requirement would have been greater, Lodge argued before the court. We have to go through the boxes at the DNR before we can discover. In other words, they was trying to hide this. I was at one of the meetings myself. They was trying to tell the people that this contaminated land was equal to this lakefront beach property where they have placed $5 million worth of homes. It's only five homes, but they're all worth $1 million apiece on our beautiful beach. So in other words, what they have done, they have taken the beach from the people and given us these parcels, which is poison to the people here. And think it's all right. They think we the bad guy because we fighting it. And this is the main reason why I'm under house arrest today. It goes on. It said Whirlpool has the beachfront properties. Lodge described how developers have removed 8 acres of the forest land, taking up nearly 4 acres of the beach with a relocated parking lot. Matter of fact, here's the deal. Benton Harbor residents cannot go into that beach area from Benton Harbor. They moved it over to All White St. Joe. And they think it's all right. Larry, do you hear what I'm saying? They think it's all right that now that we mad about it, that we shouldn't be mad because they took our land, our lakefront land.
Yeah,
they're saying.
It's 21st century. It's like, you know, I was telling some folks about you, my brother,
mm-hmm.
and the one of the people, it must have been about 10 or 12 people, we were all sitting around talking, and I was telling them about the program, et cetera, and about the case, and about the struggle in Benton Harbor. The long and short of it is one of the sisters that was present said, wait a minute, did you say Michigan or Mississippi? And I said, you got it, sister. It's Michigan, and it might as well be Mississippi.
Oh, absolutely. You know, environmental racism. You see, I never saw it on this level. How corporations can come in, and here's the deal. They didn't buy the beach from us. They leased the beach for 106 years. Now, how stupid can people be?
Right.
Well, what in my right mind will let you lease something for 106 years?
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
I'm not the smartest person in the whole wide world, but I can tell you this. I'm not letting you have no lease for no 106 years.
I hear that.
You see what I'm saying? But these corporations, they can come in, and we call it environmental racism. That's what it is. That's a whole different level of racism that now that we have to attack.
That's right.
See,
that's
we
right.
Have to,
go ahead, brother.
We have to show these people, because if we don't show them, it's going to continue to be the same, not just here in Benton Harbor. I'm talking about all across the country.
That's right.
You see, and I know you as a warrior. I know that you as a true soldier. And give me some insight on this, my brother.
Well, you know, as you said, and I can't really, frankly, put it any better than you. You made it crystal clear this is environmental racism. And essentially what that is that in communities of color, particularly black communities, such as Benton Harbor, where 94% of the population is black, what is done is that any kind of resource that these corporations want, they take.
Mm-hmm.
And what we get in return is we generally get things like dumps, and by dumps I'm talking about, yes, where trash is either put or burned, okay, which is environmentally horrible for the residents. We are the victims constantly of what I call, frankly, corporate apartheid.
Mm-hmm.
This is
mm-hmm.
what Whirlpool Corporation is practicing in Benton Harbor, Michigan. It is practicing corporate apartheid. And the unfortunate biological, and I emphasize the word biological, blacks who sat on that, what was it, a council, brother, that
We call it the city commissioners. It's eight black commissioners and one mayor. And when you think about this, it's disgusting.
Yeah.
I mean, when are we going to man up? When are we going to do that, Larry? Talk to me about our people manning up. When are we going to man up and say, well, enough is enough, that we have to take this baby to a whole different level?
Well, like Brother Malcolm said, it's time to stop saying and start swinging.
Oh.
And the reality is these individuals did not act like men.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? They didn't even act like humans, much less men.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? To sell out their community, to sell out the brothers and sisters, to sell them out. Okay? It reminds me of the biblical parable of Judas Iscariot, who
mm-hmm.
sold, you remember, for 30 pieces of silver.
Silver, absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, and it's time for us to stop this. It is time for us to stand up.
And, you know, here's where we can all get on board and start not only unifying ourselves within the state of Michigan, but all across the country. We have to start changing the way we think. We have to start educating these people, let them know that we have a major problem here. And if either you're with us or against us, if you're not with us, that means you're part of the problem.
Right.
You see? And I think that's what we should be teaching and telling these young folks. And my heart goes out to these young people. Who would believe that a corporation, here's the deal about Whirlpool. U.S. Representative Upton, he's the heir to Whirlpool. Now, he has a monopoly on stove, refrigerators, washer and dryer. They own 74% of all major appliances. You see, when they bought Maytag, they formed a monopoly. A monopoly is against the law, but it's not against the law if one of them is what you call an heir to one of the corporations. So what they did and what they put into operation, they came in this town, they started bullying black people. When I said they started bullying them, what they did, they started planting drugs on them. They started doing everything they could to kind of discourage you from doing anything. And scaring you, because most people was scared to move. That's why I was a threat to them, because they don't scare me. And I know what they're up to. But, you know, I wish there were 10,000 Larry Pinckneys in this world. I wish there were 10,000 like you, my brother, because I know you who.
Well, what we have to do is we have to awaken the 10,000, because
mm-hmm.
there are. We have to awaken them. We have to awaken our peoples, people who love justice, people who love decency, people who love fairness. We have to awaken them. All the little Huey P. Newtons and Malcolm X's and Rosa Parks and Martin Luther King's, we have to awaken them. They're out there.
Yes.
But we got to awaken them. They need to join this struggle, join this movement, because it affects us all. And as you said, my brother Reverend, as you said, you know, this is not only about Benton Harbor, Michigan. This is national.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's what we have to instill in the people. See, this is what most people think. If it happened to me, it won't happen to them. But I tell you this, if it happened to a guy like me, trust me, it'll happen to you. Nobody in would ever dream about a guy like me going to prison. Nobody. I mean, it's the most incredible thing in the whole wide world. Growing up, I would have never dreamed about it. Until I got to be 39 years old, I never even had a traffic ticket.
Mm-hmm.
You see, but my point was, I always did what I do. But who would believe that the world is set up the way it is? But I'm telling you this, and I say this all the time, I don't blame these people. If you sit around here and do nothing, you get what you deserve.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that, but I'm not willing to accept it. You can't
exactly.
dish me out crumbs and you getting the whole pie.
Exactly, exactly. And you dared to stand up. You dared to be human. You dared to be a man. You dared to be human, to stand up and say, no, I will not watch my community exploited. No, I will not sit back and do nothing. I will not accept Whirlpools, in this case Whirlpools, but other corporations too, but I will not accept the corporate apartheid, because that's what it's all about. That's why they're planting drugs on the youth and setting them up, not only planting drugs, doing everything they can to discourage them. It's like apartheid South Africa, what they did there. It's the same thing.
Oh, absolutely. And here's the thing now, when I get out and walk the streets now, everybody want to be part of what I'm doing right now. But before, when they had the rope around my neck, everybody ran for cover.
Mm-hmm.
Now listen to this. For voters fraud, they went out and they kicked in people's doors at 3:00 in the morning. I mean, voters fraud. I mean, being in possession of absentee ballot, or they might say paying somebody to vote is a misdemeanor charge, and
mm-hmm.
they went and intimidated these folks. I mean, I'm talking about maybe 200 people. And yet and still, nobody is tall. Everybody is here is scared to move. People are from here. They refuse to stand up. Well, I don't want to mess with that Pinckney guy because they might come after me. Well, it's too late. They're already coming after you. They come after
you
and your children.
That's the point. It's
mm-hmm.
too late. It's
yeah.
too late.
Yeah.
It's not about just you, Reverend Pinckney.
No.
You know. Or me, Larry Pinckney,
mm-hmm.
it's about the people. They're afraid they're going to be come after. Why, they're already being come after. Why, they are already the target. And they may as well stand up and deal with it and reverse it, because our only hope is to reverse this sophisticated 21st century apartheid, and that's what it is.
Absolutely. And here's something that people don't know. We were the murder capital of the world in 2003, and everybody who got killed was killed by a police officer. We was the murder capital of the world, and everybody who got killed was killed by a police officer, and nobody was talking about it. They was talking about how bad the city was because we was the murder capital of the world, but they didn't realize the police had killed these people.
Yeah, they didn't talk about the murderers.
No.
They were the murderers.
And even people inside the city wasn't talking about it. They were going around talking about, we the murder capital of the world, feeling sorry for themselves, you know. And I said, you know, I said, straighten up, you know, act like a man and stop whining about all these things. You talking, we the murder capital of the world. And so, yeah, you the murder capital, and the police officer are the one who made you the murder capital of the world. And you're not
exactly.
saying nothing about it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It all goes back to that. I tell you, this is tremendous. And this is a tremendous opportunity for us to really get the word out. And, you know, I want everybody all across the country to be able to tune in and we all connect, because we all got to find one common bond. See, if we can find a common bond, which we already have, you know, we can take this thing to a whole different level, Larry. Because I know your heart. You see, that's the difference. I know your heart, and I know that you know you really want to get out and do something really constructive. And then
mm-hmm.
we got other soldiers too. So talk to me, Larry.
Well, the bottom line as far as what we need to be doing is precisely what you're doing, Reverend Pinckney. What you're doing is you're organizing in the community. 94% of Benton Harbor is black. 94%. And yet, what money, what resources, where are the resources of Whirlpool Corporation going? They are not going back into Benton Harbor, and they won't go back into Benton Harbor until the people stand up and do something about that. And that's what you're about. That's why you're a threat.
Mm-hmm.
You're a threat because not only did you stand up and say it's time to vote, that it's time to stand up, it's time to organize, why you told people that they actually ultimately had the power. And
that's
you
right.
were correct.
And
you were correct.
Word, that's right. And the key thing about this whole thing, I told them that they could win. See, a
yes.
lot of times we as African Americans, we don't believe that we can beat these folks. You see, and what we did, we whooped. Whirlpool. We spank them.
Mm-hmm.
Not
mm-hmm.
once, but we done it twice now. And now people are beginning to look at me on a different level. They thought
mm-hmm.
I was the worst person in the whole world. You know, oh, I don't want to deal with Reverend Pinckney. He's a radical. He's all this. But he and a bag of chips. That's you know, that was the attitude of these people. But now people see now maybe Pinckney was right. Maybe now he could be our hero. Maybe we'll ride on his coattail, you see. But my thing is this. I want to empower you to be able to move on without
That's what me. I'm talking about.
You
That's
see?
Right.
Because it's
That's
not
right.
about – look, Larry, listen to me. It's not about me. I don't want it to be about me. I don't want it – you know, like, I don't need no glory. I mean, me and my wife, we can ride off into the sunset, you see. And most people, I'm pretty sure knowing her, I don't know whether it would satisfy her or not since she didn't got a taste of this. You see, this stuff right now is something, is once it get in your blood, you almost have to have a blood transfusion to get it out.
Mm-hmm.
You see, you just can't say, well, I'm not gonna go out here and be an activist anymore. You can't say
right.
that. Because
no, that's right.
you know, not, see, that's what I know about you, Larry. I know in my heart, I know you're ready to take this thing to a whole different level. And the work you do is so incredible, and we need people like you.
Well, you know, we need people like each other and all of us, brother. And again, I have to emphasize in my own words what you just said, and that is that, you know, we, the people, we need to be the ones out here organizing and standing with each other. And it's not about riding on anybody's coattails unless you're going to ride on your own coattail.
Yes.
And you're going to, you know, it's about, you know, the struggle that you and your wonderful wife, Sister Dorothy, have been enduring for so long. You've endured this struggle not for yourselves, but for the people. And this is what we must imbue into the hearts and the minds of the people that only we ourselves can and will take care of. We ourselves. Only we ourselves.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
And you're right in terms of, you know, when you become an activist, it doesn't go away. It doesn't go away. You continue in the struggle, as they say in Swahili, lasima tushende mbele shaka,
mm-hmm.
means that we shall succeed without a doubt, but you succeed by struggling.
Yeah,
struggling.
Absolutely.
You know, that's what Brother Malcolm X did. That's what Sister Rosa Parks did. That's what Brother Martin Luther King Jr. did. That's what, you know, all these brothers and sisters did. And you know, we've got these fools now, and I'm going to say it like it is, these fools now who want to run around talking about we got it made in the shade. We don't have it made nowhere. As a matter of fact, things have gotten worse. And what we need to do is stand up, and reverse this, you know.
And you said something that's really valuable because you said we got it made in the shade. We don't even have a shade no more.
You got that right.
They done took the shade from us, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And but the thing is, we have to start educating these people. We got to teach them how to stand up, and it should be a natural thing. That's how I look at it. It should be natural for you to want to stand up for your children and your children's children to make sure that they don't have to go through what you have went through. It should be a natural thing. I don't see it no other way. I look at it like this. We should want to do this. I hear people talking about, well, it's things going to always be the same. Yeah, with that attitude, it will be. When you locked up in that concentration camp, then, and only then, would you probably realize that now you're doing something different. So that's what I think. I think that we the people. See, remember, anytime you're dealing with government, government is supposed to be for the people and by the people. Mm-hmm. And anytime you drop that ball, then you get what we got now.
That's right.
See, you get exactly what we got now. And this is what we have right now, something that you don't want, something you can't live by.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
Mm-hmm.
Because I tell you, what's happened here in Benton Harbor is criminal. But the point is, the guys that's doing it are law enforcement. They are the real criminals.
Exactly. And let us not forget the judiciary, the courts.
Oh, absolutely.
Because the courts are the ones who reinforce the criminal activities of the so-called law enforcement. And what good is law if it is not just? People confuse something that's legal with something that's just. Slavery was legal. Was it just? No. Okay? So what people are continuing to do, especially through these corporations, is they are continuing a form of slavery. Now, is it legal? Well, you know, whether it's legal or not, it's unjust.
That's right. Absolutely.
And we got to fight against injustice wherever we see it.
Wherever
it is. From Benton Harbor to across this nation.
And you said it right. Because really, whatever affects you affects me.
That's right.
You know, whatever affects somebody who might be living in Atlanta affects me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're living in California, whatever affects them affects me. And
right.
Then if we ever start networking and getting this thing right and really become a real force, we can be somebody. But we have to remember, you have to move yourself out the way. Anytime that you got yourself in there as a big I and little you, then we got a problem. And
that's
what exists. And here's the thing, too. Most African-Americans who got money, they're not going to want to be bothered with you.
And let's tell it like it is, my brother.
Yeah.
Tell it like it is. I call these Negroidians, okay, the black elite. The black elite has done the same thing that the white elite has done. And you know what that is?
Mm-hmm.
They have sold you out.
Absolutely.
They have sold out your interests. They have sold out justice. They have sold you/us out. And
completely.
Let's not be confused by that, because that is what the black elite, okay, has been doing and is continuing to do. The only people who are going to rise up will be those of us who are what I call a part of the underclass.
That's it.
Okay?
That's it. Beautiful.
Black elite running around with all their fancy words, their fancy PhDs, their fancy degrees.
Talk
okay?
to me.
Meanwhile,
Brother Pinky, I don't mean to cut you off, but I got Kwesi on the line now. So,
let me
bring him in. And before we bring everybody else, okay?
Okay, Kwesi. My brother.
Kwesi.
Hello. Yeah.
Kwesi?
Yeah.
Hey, Reverend Pinckney here, and also my brother Larry Pinckney here. How you doing today?
Oh, well, I'm doing pretty good.
You doing pretty good? You sound pretty good. How you feeling?
Pretty good.
Okay. Well, we want to talk about your situation a little bit, because you were one of the guys that Andrew Collins had planted drugs on him and Bernard Hall.
Correct.
And we want the world to know a little bit about that, so that people can understand that what we're saying is actually happening here in the city of Benton Harbor. I know who you is, and you're free to talk, and you can tell the world. We don't want to hear about the second time that they planted drugs on you yet, but maybe you, which one you want to talk about? You can talk about whatever you want. You just talk.
All right, really, I'm feel free to talk about any which one of the situations. But what I'm saying is, it was crazy, because when I went to court about the situation and talked to my state appointed attorney, the one they had appointed to me, he didn't do nothing to even justify my case. I was trying to tell him the truth about the matter, telling him that the drugs were mine, but it was like he was believing the officers, Andrew Collins and Bernard Hall. And I kept telling them the facts. They wouldn't go for the facts. They wouldn't check for the DNA. They wouldn't do nothing. They wouldn't do fingerprints. They wouldn't do nothing. I couldn't justify my way of me being not guilty in no way.
Oh, that was your attorney, Scott Sanford?
Scott Sanford, yeah.
Scott Sanford. And matter of fact, he was actually, what he was doing, he was aiding and abetting the Barron County Courthouse. Is that correct?
Correct. And that's the same attorney that I had on the second case. When Collins and Bernard, then when they got indicted or whatever, they also had friends and federal officers inside the Benton Harbor Police Agency. They came back a second time because of their partner was indicted for me getting out. Their partner got indicted for me getting out of jail for them drug trafficking. So they had friends and everybody that they work with, their fellow workers that they work with, wasn't pleased with the situation, so they came back towards me the second time with the same situation, which I'm doing house arrest for now.
They planted drugs on you.
Correct.
And you and I, we both went over that video that they had, the camera. Is that correct?
Yes, we did.
And we also, there was no way that a jury, an all-white jury, could have found you guilty because there was
right.
nowhere on that drug that they could have said that you had drugs in your possession.
Right. And then on top of that, when I had went to court and everything, it's 10 seconds of the tape missing. They had made a tape permissible in court, but the tape was tampered with. It was 10 seconds missing, not the tape and everything. The date was wrong on the tape. The tape was completely tampered with, and I didn't think that tamper evidence could be admissible in court.
Mm.
I was trying to subpoena also another officer that was there at the scene. His name was Officer Bobo. He worked at Benton Harbor Police Department. He's still an officer there. I tried to subpoena him, but the Benton Harbor officer that was pressing the charges on me told me that it wasn't no way they could find Officer Bobo, but I want to know why you can't find him to subpoena him when he worked in the same Benton Harbor police station right along with you. He's your fellow officer.
So let me get this straight. What you telling me that this officer who's with them, they couldn't find him to give him a subpoena? And he worked there.
Right, they couldn't find him at the Benton
Harbor. Who out there in computer land, radio land, could believe that the Benton Harbor Police Department could not find this guy if they wanted to? They could find you if you were in Mexico.
Then there was another officer by the name of Sheriff Mans. He worked at the Barron County Sheriff Department. They said they couldn't find him to subpoena him even. He had on a brown sheriff uniform. They couldn't even find him to subpoena him for my trial.
Mm. Larry, are you listening to this, Larry?
I'm listening to it. Quasi, how you doing, my brother?
All right.
Good. You stay strong. You maintain. You understand? It's a long struggle. It's not an overnight affair. You dig? And let me just say this. What Brother Quasi has just been describing is typical of what is going on in Benton Harbor and, quite frankly, throughout the country. Barack Obama or no Barack Obama. This is what is going on to our young brothers and sisters and our old folks as well. Okay? This is not justice. This is injustice.
Absolutely.
People talk about the laws. Laws are become irrelevant when they are unjust. If laws are unjust, then those laws need to be overturned, and only the people can do that and will do that. Certainly not these unjust. You know, I'm going to say it like it is, brother. Pigs. That's what we call them in the party. In the
Absolutely.
Black Panther Party, pigs. Okay?
Absolutely.
And we call them pigs because that's the way they acted, and clearly that's the way they are continuing to act, whether it's on the municipal level, the state level, the federal level, they're pigs.
Absolutely.
And we must understand that and
Absolutely.
Act accordingly.
You hear, and Quasi, you hear that? We have to start taking a stand and standing up, because if you don't, it's going to happen to you again.
That's right.
You know, they have got you two times, and two times they have gotten away with it. So now what we got to do, we got to build up a little fortress so we can be able to withstand what they try to do. And the way we do it with the numbers and with the people. Once the people stand up and see things are different, then they will try to do things different. But listen, Quasi, in your closing remarks, is there anything directly you want to say?
Yes, I want to know. I thought you could subpoena anybody to your trial. If you're going to trial, I thought you could subpoena anybody to your trial. And they had to go get the people to subpoena them to testify with you, for you can have witnesses at your trial. But even Judge Bruce even told me the people I wanted to subpoena, he told me no. I never heard of a judge tell you no to the people you want to subpoena.
Mm, and that's Barron County for you. That's Barron County. But we're not going to allow them to get away with it, Quasi. I'm guaranteeing
right.
you that. We're not going to allow them to get away with it. I've been with you a long time, and I know, and you know me. You know that I don't give up. I'm not a quitter. And I believe from my heart that your case is a perfect example of where you stood up. And here's the best news. On Tuesday, Bernard Hall, the other officer, is pleading guilty in federal court for planting drugs on all these different people. That's the good news. But we have to continue to do what we need to do. And
yes,
I appreciate
yes.
you. Crazy, is mm-hmm. there anything else you need to say or you want to say right fast? Because we got to move on to other callers right fast. But you just if you got something to say, shoot it out.
That'll be it for right now. That was all like the top topics of every little thing.
Okay. Well, listen, we appreciate your call. And look, man, don't hesitate. And we want to let the world know that, you know, that we're behind you 100%.
All right.
Stay strong. Stay strong, Quasi. Stay strong.
And hang. Stay on. Don't hang up yet, okay? Because somebody might have questions for you, okay?
All right.
All right. Call you on the air? Hello?
This is Brother
I'm here, Brother. Good.
Yeah, who is this?
This is Brother Pruitt.
Hey, Brother Pruitt, how you doing?
Everything is all right, my brother. How you doing today?
I'm doing wonderful. You can also say hi to Larry Pinkney and also Quasi Roberts. They're all on the line now right now listening to you. And I know you always have something good to say. So, you know, whatever you have to say, just go ahead and say it.
Yeah, my brother, I would like to say to yourself and Brother Quasi, you know, you guys are right in the middle of the battle right now. Stay strong in the struggle. Brother Larry has put his time in prison 10 years, and there are just so many cases of injustice against the African-American community and the black population right now until I just don't understand why black people aren't really up in arms. This situation that you have there, Reverend Pinkney and Benton Harbor with gentrification against that Whirlpool Corporation, you really and truly are to be commended for that, brother, and I think that you are right. Earlier you mentioned that there should be a way for us to take the struggle to another level, and I believe that the people in Benton Harbor should get together and put a petition together and send it to HUD and to Obama's Green Committee and make sure that they state those environmental hazards that you mentioned about lead and that arsenic that this corporation has put on there, because you need to get that national, brother. That needs to be national. That's the information they're trying to repress. That's why they have you under that illegal house arrest, and that should be a reason to spark African-Americans to the point of wanting to get ready to get back into the movement mode.
And, you know, here's the thing about that. The judges that's in Barron County Courthouse, they stand to make millions and millions of dollars off this project. And the thing is, the only way you can actually fight these people, remember this, they got U.S. Representative Fred Upton up there in Washington. He's the heir to Whirlpool. Everything that happened comes through him, and because he's been there about 20 years. And you're talking about a billionaire. He also is hooked up with the McClendon family out of Texas. These are the oil, the big oil people. They're billionaires also. So what you have here, you have a group of people with money fighting against people with no money. But here's the beauty of this. We have a common bond where we all can start coming together and standing up for what is right. You see what I'm saying? And Brother Pruitt
right.
and my brother Larry and Quasi, see, this is the beginning for all of us.
Right.
You see? But what we have to do, we have to connect. And like I said, we got to have this common bond. And I think, Brother Port, you got the common bond for us.
Oh,
talk
no.
Talk to us about it.
No question about it. Reparations is an issue that we can get various people around the country that have studied and went to the highest level in various fields. For instance, in the criminal justice area, we could have them study Brother Quasi's case, because it's much bigger than the people in Benton Harbor even realize.
Mm-hmm.
The situation that you have there with gentrification right there in Benton Harbor, Michigan, is a replica of what is going on around this entire nation. African Americans are losing ground that they gained from the Civil Rights Movement all the way back to the 1800s. And I'm telling you, brother, the most outstanding case that I can recall, and Brother Larry and Brother Quasi have probably heard about this one too, was those Geechee Islands in South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I heard about that, yes.
Yeah, and I'm telling you right now, I'm down here in Charlotte, and they have done the same thing with the first and second wards areas, and it's a problem, and African Americans just do not understand the impact that it has on us as a community and as a people, and not only by the physical losing the land part, but the psychological damage that is being done to African Americans when they lose their property. These people down around the Hurricane Katrina area, mm-hmm. Larry, Brother Pinckney, Brother Quasi, mm-hmm. They waiting on us to start a reparations movement so we can form various commissions to address these issues. We cannot continue to stand by and let them brutalize us like they did this lady Megan Williams down in West Virginia. We cannot continue to let this happen and we sit by idly and stand and say nothing, because if you sit by while your civil rights violations are being infringed upon you like that and you say nothing, the society that is majority racist feels that you condone that activity and that you all have that elitist attitude that Brother Larry was referring to earlier.
You're absolutely right.
And in order for us to overcome that and for mm-hmm. us to put ourselves in a position for this nation to start respecting us is for us to all come together and to form a power base to address racism and to demand reparation for what they have done from slavery, the vestiges of slavery, and the ongoing atrocities that they are infringing upon us right now. Brother, I can't believe you are reverend and they have the audacity to have you under house arrest. I cannot believe that.
Well, here's the thing. For so many years, people here had did exactly nothing. And here I come along, you know. And first they thought, probably figured that I wasn't real, that, you know, that I was a fraud. Because they said, well, he could be, you know, he could be bought and he could be sold. After they realized that I couldn't be bought or sold, then they had to take it to a whole different level. They figured if we send him to jail, that would scare him to death. Okay, they sent me to jail. They sent me to prison. They took me from prison to prison to prison to prison to prison. And yet and still, here's the catch. Here's the kicker part. They still didn't break me. They were so busy trying to break me. Right now, they think that putting me under house arrest means something to them. It don't mean nothing to me.
No, brother, they do not understand the power and the spirit that God has bestowed upon you. They can't even understand that. That is something that is beyond the realm of their reality. If you look at what is going on right now, just among the people in this country, and then you look at the situation in Africa, and you talking about them making another advance for land grabs, and right here in this country, we have a black president that refused to go to the Elimination of Racism Conference, and that is beyond a shadow of a doubt the oldest and most dangerous problem in this nation.
Absolutely.
And I'm black people right now.
Hold that thought, because this is where Larry come in. Talk to me, Larry.
Well, you know, the brother hit it right on the head.
Yeah.
Hey, brother Pruitt.
Yes.
I'm going to send you, by the way, my editor at Black Commentator, that's www.blackcommentator.com, he did forward that information, request. So I'm going to be contacting you, and I'm going to send you an article called The Need for Reparations. I think you're going to relate. I know you will.
Yeah.
But let me just say this, that, you know, I was talking just a few seconds or a few minutes ago about the whole fact of the matter of us having the so-called black elite, you know, and how they've sold us out. And, of course, that's what they're going to do. And that's from Barack Obama to Eric Holder to we can name them, okay? But
you can even throw in Gates now.
Yeah.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Make
sure you don't leave him out.
Right. Henry Louis Gates, you know, the I call them the Yale-Harvard crowd,
mm-hmm.
you dig? You yeah. know, the Yale-Harvard crowd, okay? And only crowd I'm concerned about is the crowd of us at the bottom of this damn slave boat that we're in, okay? It's time for us to take this slave ship over. And this is going to take unification. It's going to take a lot of hard work. But that's what we've got to do. So, Brother Pruitt, I'm with you. We're on the same page. You know that.
That's excellent, my brother, and I'm really, really glad to hear that, because we have been doing a lot of thinking along the lines of the struggle, and there are many of us that are just absolutely furious about the way they're treating Reverend Pinckney. So we're looking at this case like we can use it for a springboard for the reparations movement, similarly to like what they did with Rosa Parks' case. And we have a plan, my brother. Instead of just everybody getting together and crying, we need reparations, we need reparations. No, no, no. we have a plan, and right now we're circulating both documents that can contain a strategy that will motivate Americans to form a power base and push to address racism and win reparations. And those two documents are called the five-phase plan and the reparations proclamation. And we're circulating them around the country right now to bring black people together so we can begin to do something for ourselves.
And, you know, here's something that Brother Pruitt and Larry, I know that, you know, y'all know this. You got to start meeting, even in little bitty groups. Because the reason why it's so important, to get the word out face-to-face with our people. Because find every reason in the world not to do something.
Yeah.
I mean, if the first thing to come out of their mouth, they dog died 2 years ago, and they're still moaning over the dog, so they can't attend the meeting. So one of the things that I do, or I always did, I made sure we went by and picked up the people. So that way they don't have an excuse. Even if they had cars, we would make sure that we picked them up. And that's how we did things. So I'm telling you this because I know my people and I know how they act. I know they look for every excuse. This is a movement that can grow so fast and so big and be well represented if we get out here and do what we're supposed to do. We don't stop doing what we're doing. What we do, we just add, and we tell everybody, you need to tell 10 people about this. You see, and you make a commitment to tell 10 people.
And you know,
and let's say they don't tell 10 people. Let's say they only tell 5 people. That's just as good because they tell them to tell 10. Maybe they only tell 5. Eventually, we have the number. And before we can do anything, Brother Poor, we got to have the numbers. If we don't have the numbers, we're just spinning our wheels.
Yeah, you're right, brother. And you bring up a good point to bring the people face to face and talk about this issue. We need to have brothers like Kwazi up there telling their stories about how the police invaded on their civil rights because they did the same thing in Los Angeles 4 or 5 years ago. They was notorious for doing that. Matter of fact, they made one of the movies was actually based on a precinct in Los Angeles. So, brother, our heart and soul is out with you. We feel for the way they're treating you too, but. Like I say, man, to circulate this plan and Reverend Pinkney, it's important to do it face-to-face, but we're going to also take advantage of this technology today. We're going to put these documents on the Internet, and we're going to be telling Americans, one of your duties this week are to read these two documents so that we can begin to come together and form a power base to handle our business.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds good. And then the key thing that we need to send it out to 5-6 people, too.
Exactly.
You see, what we don't do when you have knowledge, you don't keep it to yourself.
Exactly.
We have to learn to share everything. Once we learn to share, we will become a force.
Yes.
And until we learn to share, and here's something that we don't do too. Everybody can't be the leader.
Right.
You see, that's what we have to. And most of the time, if you don't come up with that idea, you won't follow this guy.
Right.
My thing is this. If your idea is good, you got me. You see, I don't have to be the big cahoose. I don't have to be the big chief. I don't have to be the president of whatever it is. I could be an Indian and spread the word.
Yep, and that is a good point, Reverend Pinkney, because what we did was we left both of those documents open for amendments so that just in case a brother like Kwesi or a brother like Larry get a hold to it and they begin to read it and they see that they can think of a small detail or a large paragraph that may improve the document, then we always incorporate them into the documents. That way everybody can feel that they are taking a part of it and that they have some input into it. And I'm just making sure that everybody understands that I just put the documents together because what I did was I took the best ideas from most of the civil rights activists, all of the black power activists, and the majority of black nationalists to formulate this plan. So you're going to see a little bit of Christian in it, a little bit of Muslim in it, a little bit of black power, a little bit of civil rights. We got a little bit of everything. You know, we got like the five-phase plan and the reparations proclamation. They like a bowl of gumbo for African-Americans.
Beautiful. Brother Pruitt, Larry, yeah. Larry, do you want to elaborate on just for a second? I got this other guy I got to bring on.
Let me just say this, Brother Pruitt, is always a pleasure and a distinct honor, and you stay strong. And like I said, you know, one of us is no stronger than all of us. All of us. That's where our strength comes from.
That's it.
Yes, like Reverend Pinkney said, the strength comes in the numbers, and God
That's
bless
right.
everybody.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Hey, Reverend Pinckney here. Caller, you got something to say?
Oh, no.
Hello?
No,
oh,
I'm going to
tell. Hello? Okay. Back to you. Hello?
Yeah, this is Brother Pruitt.
Brother Pruitt. Larry.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, well, the caller, he didn't have anything to say. I look, sometimes y'all don't get too heavy for people, so could you calm it down a little bit? Because, you know, everybody, you know, can't handle all this information at one time. You
absolutely not.
Yeah. Yeah, so you know that, so you know, so when you giving out information on this level, you see, it kind of messes people's minds up. You see, so hey, I'm just telling you. And I'm just telling y'all, hey, it is an honor, believe me, Brother Pruitt, and especially my brother, Larry Pinckney. I like to say Pinckney to Pinckney, because we're a team, you know. And
yeah.
And I tell you, he's my hero. I got to tell you that, Brother Pruitt, he's my hero. And he wants to play it down, but he's my hero. And ain't nothing he can do about it. He's my hero, and that's final, you
well,
see.
Well, no. The bottom line is collectively, I have learned and gone through what I went through and I'm still going through, but it's always the heroes and sheroes out there like you, like Brother Pruitt, like Kwesi, okay? We got them out there. That's what I'm saying. We got the Malcolms and the Martins and the Marcuses out there. We got them out there. We got Rosa out there. We have to tap them, wake them up.
That's it.
You know?
And you know, one thing, too, we got to learn how we can connect. Because
yeah.
I think the biggest pitfall that we have is that we're unable to connect with other people that's willing to do and listen to what we have to say and what we're doing, because they doing their own thing, you see. But you shouldn't be doing your own thing. We all need to come together. And all the groups could sit down and we can learn something from everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I talk to people, I learn from them. I
don't
just put myself out there, because I really want myself to be pushed back. And then that way, with all the people I know, I can connect with and keep this thing moving. I'd rather see the movement keep moving than see it stop because somebody don't want me to do something.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
But that's what we have to teach. See, we have to start setting up classes, educating these people. Even if we can only get 5, 10, 15 people at a time, that's what we need to do. Once we do that and institute that into these people's mind, see, the first thing you got to do, you got to show these people there's a problem.
Right.
You see, if I got a job making $100,000 a year, it's very difficult for you to tell me that there's a problem out in America.
And you are absolutely right about that, Reverend Pinckney. That's another reason why we figured, you know, the reparation issue is really going to be that step board that we're going to use to bring everybody together. Because, again, when you name these certain problems that are affecting our people today, African-Americans really don't understand the impact that AIDS is having on our community. They really don't understand the impact that gentrification is having on our people in our community. But once we can sit down and we can show this information to African-Americans and we can get them to go over it in a manner that's like a dupe period where they go over it and over it again, it will begin to sink in, and black people will begin to redevelop that collective consciousness that we had back in the civil rights movement so we can start moving in numbers.
And that's what the key, you said collective, collective consciousness. That's what it's all about. You see, with a collective consciousness, you can't cut off the head because there is no head.
That's it. That's it. And Larry, you know, because you're the original guy, you know. You're the one actually started stuff. You started stuff that they still doing today.
Yeah.
You know, the breakfast program, you know, when y'all was giving out free food and all this kind of stuff. People always look at the Black Panther as being something bad and terrible. But we can't listen to that news media when you're doing stuff. Because once you listen to that news media, you half dead. Because
that's
they're going to try to convince you whatever you're doing is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You see? So that's why the Internet is so valuable. The Internet is one of the most important tools that we can ever use. And I'm telling each and every one of you there, we can do this. Because think of it like this. If we can defeat somebody like Whirlpool on maybe small battlefields, we can just about beat anybody because we didn't have nothing. And I'm telling you, we want to get that message. Every victory we get, we want to put it out there, let people know where we're coming from. And we want to think everybody on, that we're going to be on the same page with the people because we need to understand that we're all in this together.
Exactly. That's right.
That is important, brother. That collective conscious, developing our reconnecting back to Africa, studying all these strong groups before us like SNCC and the Black Panther Party. And one thing the Black Panther Party did in Los Angeles that a lot of people in the dominant society hate was they made a lot of brothers educated, because not only did they used to feed us back in the day, they used to make us read too.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Hey, Larry, he just hit you right in the forehead.
Oh, the black
he sure did. He sure did. Because when I joined the party, actually, I joined in L.A. and then went up to Oakland. And one of our before I became the section leader in the party, the point is this, is the brother Pruitt hit it right on the head, because we went to education classes. And you'd better damn well know which the answers to the questions that were being asked you, who was Franz Fanon? What did he have to say about the struggle? Who is this person? Who is that person? What did they have to say about the struggle? It's knowledge, and we pass that knowledge back and forth into each other, and we got to go back to those roots.
Yes.
Hey, that's it, and that's what I'm saying. Even if we start off in little groups, you know, we have to make this commitment that that's what we're going to do. Our word is that we have to start educating people on a whole different level, you see, and let them understand that we're there for them. See, when you let people know that you're there for them, most of the time, you can get their attention. But we have to start educating people. If we don't start educating people, we're going to lose them. Because, first of all, we don't allow them to get out there and want to do battle and don't give them at least a sword. You say, if we give them a pistol, we got to make sure they have bullets in the pistol. And that's
right.
What I'm saying. You know, you don't go out on the battlefield unless you prepare. And too many times we go out there and we're not prepared to do battle. So that's why education is so important. And this is something we can do. This is not hard. You see, the thing is, we just have to convince these people that you got a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and that we have a plan, because I tell you, with all of the African Americans around this country right now that are out of work, if we was to say to Obama, we want you to sign an executive order so we can get some reparations land in different states all around this country where there's a large population of black people, and we're gonna pay black men $5,000 a month to build a new community. All the black women will respect the brothers will start loving each other, the black-on-black crime would drop dramatically, and the black love would emulate tremendously, brother.
And, you know, you're really saying something, but I want to tell you this. We better hurry, because we don't believe Obama will get a second term. So we better, you know, if we plan on getting something that's going to help us, we better hurry.
No, that was just an example.
That's a good example. I mean, you gave us an example, but that's a good one.
Yeah,
you
but see? we're not really counting on that, because we really count on black people to come together in this country and form a reparations union power base so we can do what we need to do. That will enable us to address racism, enable us to afford to help people in different scenarios like Brother Kwame, and just put people out in the front like Brother Larry, that's supposed to be leaders. And we would really do much better, Reverend Pinckney,
yes,
with our own communities like we had before integration.
Absolutely.
To continue to live in this nation and let them tear our families apart with these Department of Social Services and all these other tricks they're using with these family programs. They're killing our family.
They are. But listen, we only got less than 60 seconds. I just want to let everybody know that next week I'll be back on at 5:00. And I want people to know that we're going to take this thing to another level. We want people to understand what we're trying to accomplish here. My brother Larry, he's always, you know, anything y'all need to know, he's well-read in just about any field that you could think of. My brother Pruitt, it appears that there's nothing he don't know in reference to getting things done, but the most important thing, we're going to learn to organize.
Yeah.
That's the number one tool that we're going to start. We're going to do this among ourselves so people can understand what we're trying to do. So, like you said, we got to have a plan. You can't go on the battlefield and win the battle unless you got a plan.
You got to have a plan. You're right,
that's
man.
It. And I'm going to have to say goodnight to both of y'all today. And I truly, truly enjoy both of y'all. And God bless you. And we will talk again next week.
God love you, brother.
Love y'all. Love y'all. Take care now.
Look forward to getting with you next week, Brother Larry.
Okay.
Okay, brother.
God bless you.